hi. Actually, this is Sarah Weedman. My first question is, on the one hand, I'm hearing you say submit as soon as possible to CMP, and on the other hand, I'm hearing you say that the attestation isn't ready. So for those of us that want to upload today, how will we get that attestation email generated?
Well, you can still submit, and we can process your updates and get them on the Find or Verify site, so you're that much further ahead. And then when the enhancement, the attestation change is ready, you can go back in and handle that. I think the advantage of submitting sooner, quite frankly, is as we get closer to the deadline, the queue gets longer and longer. So since the window just opened yesterday, the queue would be shorter today than it is this coming Friday versus next week.
Right, I understand that. I was just wondering how we generate the attestation.
Right. We will be sending out the emails to those who submit. Our intent is to get the emails linked to the clicking on the submit button, and that's what we don't have ready yet. The facility is there, and so we will be reaching out to people before the 15th in order to get those attestations.
Okay, thanks. And the second question is, we also have the issue with, we have rates ready for 1/1/2011 through 12/31/2011. So I guess my question is, what are, a lot of consumers go out and check for the next year what the rate will be. What are they going to see if they want to check for 2011 now?
I think the answer to that is that currently they're going to see the rates that are reflected for this period. We are not, again, we're not really our purpose is a little different than sites like eHealth and other vendors that are for people looking to purchase the insurance immediately and find out what they would get. We really are trying to reflect what is the current situation. So the rates that you submit for November are what's going to be displayed on the website. Again, though, if there are better ways to handle this where we should be forward-looking or where we might allow people to submit rates that they've gotten approved but not make active until the effective date is reached, then those are things we can consider and look into. But currently what we're doing is reflecting the rates that are for the November, we'll be reflecting the rates that are accurate for November. That is our intent.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Teresa Johnson with the CDP HP. Please proceed.
Hi, everyone. Just a couple of quick questions. I went out to the info gathering site to get a hard copy of the, or to print a copy of the presentation. I don't see it. Do you know when that will be posted?
Which presentation are you referring to?
The slides that we just saw.
Honestly, we need to make sure they're 508 compliant for people with disabilities. Once we've reviewed that, we'll go ahead, and it shouldn't be more than 12 hours after we get them in. So they should be up, we'll try to get them up tomorrow.
Okay.
And it really shouldn't be any later than 2 days from now.
Okay.
Hopefully tomorrow.
Just one other question. We're changing roles here and from submitter to validator. So the person that was submitting is no longer submitting, and I'm going to take over that responsibility. So I sent the emails to the help desk, and I've actually gone on to CMP, and I have a login, but I don't see any of our files that we've submitted previously, so I'm not sure. Is that something my technical assistant can help me with? Is that something quick that I might be doing wrong?
So when you log into CMP, the prior request is no longer there?
Correct. So I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah. Send an email to the CMP help desk and they can research it.
Okay. I didn't know if it was an easy answer that maybe I was doing something incorrectly, because I haven't gone on to the site as a reviewer before.
Right. And when you finally do get this resolved and get into your request, make sure you change the contact information. So you mentioned an individual left that was one of the primary contacts?
The submitter, yeah. We
so make sure you change that. That's on the contacts page.
Sorry, I went out to do that, and I don't see any information, so.
Right, okay, we need to resolve that first.
Okay. All right, that's all I had. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Rochelle Ureke with Assurin Health. Please proceed.
Hi, we have a question on the cloning option on the CMP. Can you tell us, if we select a clone, does it clone the issuer ID and the product ID, or is it just on the plan level that gets cloned?
The cloning is actually in the Enter Portals plans page. And it allows you to take what you've entered and replicate it in other states. And then what you need to do is after you do that cloning, then you need to change any particulars that apply to that state.
Okay.
So like, for example, a lot of issuers, they may have almost identical plans in each state. And therefore, they can clone one set of plans and then make the appropriate updates under each state, and it saves a lot of time.
Does it clone every single thing you entered then in that on that page? On that portal plan page? On the portal plan page? So every Okay, thank you. And then we had one more question about the benefit template.
So we have three portal plans that we entered, and we were wondering if we can upload three different benefit templates. Or does it have to be just one template with the three columns that addresses the three portal plans?
It has to be one template that reflects the three plans.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And just, you know, that's a good point because that was an issue with many issuers in the first submission period, providing multiple templates. We're set up to process a template, and if you send us more than one, we kind of don't know what exactly we need to do. So it needs to be under one template. And again, if it's a separate legal entity, then that would be a separate request and a separate template.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Samantha Mongavin with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Please proceed.
Yeah, this is Samantha. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. We have a couple of questions. We're one of the plans that didn't make it on to the CMP Live this time. And so we have a few clarification questions. David, one, is it true that you've accepted our submission and that we won't have to make any other changes in the actual CMP tool?
I'm sorry, which issuer is this?
Sorry, this is we're the Montana plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana.
Oh, okay.
So we just wanted to, we sent our request to go ahead and retransfer our files for us.
Well, okay, so we transferred your files, and I believe, I'm trying to recall, you did do the attestation, but you were suppressed because of the HIOS file, I believe?
Correct.
Okay. So, yes, if there's nothing, no further updates that need to be made to the content, and you resolve the HIOS problem, then we're all set to move your plans forward. It's coming to me now because we traded some emails.
Okay.
All you need to do is make sure that you've reconciled the issue with HIOS and we're good to go.
Okay. We haven't quite worked out the HIOS issues, and I'm having trouble getting responses. Is this not the appropriate place to ask a question about that tool?
Possibly, and I'm sorry, this is Brian. I'd really rather focus on the training to make sure we get other questions regarding that. But if you're having problems with the actual HIOS tool, let's hear the question and then we'll decide.
Okay, the question was, in the HIOS tool, it's still requiring small group data for the three bullet points, the apps received, the apps denied, and uprated apps. And so we're wondering what the definitions for all of those are, and we're not able to find those in the submission tool instructions on definitions for small group and how people reported those.
Okay. In the FAQ, it will tell you what to do with the applications. As you're aware, the denials aren't required, and you can enter zeros in those fields.
Yep.
And in terms of the uprates, those are actually premised on at the same level. So, you know, if you have an application, one application, if there are uprates based on the underwriting.
Yeah.
Do any of the policies under those? Then that would be an uprated policy. I understand that that may end up generating high numbers. Quite frankly, though, at this point, we're just interested in making sure that we're applying a consistent metric as opposed to, you know, anything more substantive at this point. And we'll be spending a little more time focusing on that once we actually have the ability to give better detailed information on small groups.
Okay. Because we just actually don't keep it by product type because we give that back to our agent and we give them the rate, their rate group versus a, is that making sense? So we don't do it by, you know, product line of product. So we didn't quite know how to break that out.
Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, it you can sort of look at it at the application level and try to structure it that way. But frankly, you know, this is information that, yeah, do your best with it.
Okay.
Get us the accurate information.
It's not going to
affect the November display. So, in terms of small group, so, yeah, it's something that we're continuing to work on.
Okay. And then I wanted to clarify, there was a question asked by Sinead. She said that she didn't have any updates to her data for November or December, so she wasn't going to go into HIOS or CMP. And actually, it looks to me like the reference quarters changed for the December refresh, and so we will all have to be making changes to our applications, product enrollment, apps received, apps denied, and uprated offers for the December refresh. We're supposed to enter data from April 1st to June 30th, so we'll all have to make changes to those files, correct?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the actual schedule, but it sounds like what you're saying sounds accurate to me. So I've just opened the Q&A so I can see the schedule.
Okay, yeah. It was under the Appendix B that we have to change our reference quarters for each refresh.
Well, not for each refresh, but the schedule is out there in the Q&A. And so the December refresh is referencing the second quarter of the current year. So it is the April 1st to June 30th.
Right.
And then those numbers will be good through March.
Correct.
So March of next year, you'll need to go in and refresh again. That is actually correct.
Okay. That's what I have. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Lynn Togg with Wellmark BCBS. Please proceed.
I have one question that has two parts to it. If we have uploaded and attested to all the original submission data on CMP and we have absolutely no changes for this refresh, do we need to do anything?
I think not in CMP. If the CMP is correct, then we're good to go.
So if that's all correct and we do nothing, our information will still display on the portal.
In terms of the CMP, you do still need to go in and make sure that all your information is accurate on HIOS.
Okay.
And please send an email to your account specialist just letting them know that no further changes and please move our updates forward.
Okay. And the second part of the question is we don't have any changes that we need to enter at this time for HIOS or in CMP. However, there are still defects, if you will, of the way our data is being processed by eHealth on the portal. And so is somebody still working on those to fix those, or how do we make sure that those happen? Do we work with our account specialist to make that happen?
Yes, you should resolve any outstanding defects. Work with your account specialist.
Okay. All right. That's.
It sounds like you may have made the requests already. Have you been out there?
The requests were made with our original submission.
Work with your account
specialist. We never got any of everything fixed by the time it went live, so there's still things not working correctly.
Okay.
But the data we've given you is correct.
Okay.
And I'm not sure who my contact is, so I'll send an email out to the CMP help desk.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Robert Harris with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Please proceed.
Yes, hi. This is Robert. One of my questions was answered earlier, and I think a couple of comments I have would probably be best either submitted to Beth Lou. I just had some general comments, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as part of the training, I just thought it might also be helpful to maybe convey to people how information will be displayed. So one of my examples is on the RX template, on the medical benefit template, where if you entered in the information as the example on the slide demonstrated where it was in the other coverage, to a consumer, if you're now looking at it from the healthcare.gov perspective, it almost can look like the prescription drugs are not covered, because in the generic brand and formulary it would say not available, even though, even in your example, you could list all of the drug coverage information in that cell. So just kind of a point there that it might be a little confusing, and so people might want to think about how they're actually entering information as it relates to how it will be displayed to the consumer.
Yes, but also bear in mind that if you have concerns about the display, please go ahead and communicate them to us. And in fact, you're right, we're going to set up a different email mailbox for these issues. But for now, if you reach out to Beth Lou, or you can go ahead and call in tomorrow and we can talk about those issues in terms of how we might improve the display of these information.
Okay, so I think the bulk of my stuff will be best reserved for that conversation.
All right. Our next question comes from the line of Jonathan Hallway with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Please proceed.
Hi. We had our submission in for the first deadline, and whenever it was put up on the Verify, there were some issues. And in going back and trying to get the issues resolved, we were instructed that we had possibly submitted the wrong template. And after the fact, we asked the question of both the CMP and our support specialist, and have yet to receive any response back as to what the proper template was that we were supposed to use. And we've emailed two or three times now and still have yet to get a response. Exactly what do we need to do to get a problem that we don't see as actually being a problem on our side resolved?
And I apologize if nobody's gotten back to you on that. What I'd like you to do is, in order to determine the correct template to use, we need to see your rate file and work with your account specialist. And if you don't know who that is, send us an email.
We contacted her twice as well.
Okay. Can I ask who, I'm sorry, I missed when you called in who you represent?
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee.
Okay. I think people are listening, so we'll reach out to you in terms of this issue to figure out what the best template may be. Can I ask, though, it sounds like you were saying that the template that you utilized, was it generating okay results or not?
The template we used generated okay results for everything except for our high deductible health plans, where we actually have a discounted family rate. So all our other plans are based on the individual plan, and likewise with the HDHP plans. If it's an individual applying, there's a set of rates, and if it's a family applying, there's a set of rates that are based per individual of the family, but it's a discounted rate from the standard single person rates.
Right.
And when the Find Verify site was pulling them, it was actually pulling $0 amounts for all of those, as well as missing all the deductible information as well.
Yeah, it sounds, and in terms of the specifics of what went a little haywire there, I mean, it may be that we need to figure out how to separate those out, because discounted rates are something that we're still not as, you know, we don't have a good way of displaying discounts off of the rates. And so the family rates versus the individual rates may need some adaptations. But I think it's fair to say at this point, we'll go ahead and make sure someone reaches out to you to make sure we're getting that information reflected.
Okay, and a follow-up question on that. We have everything out on the CMP site from our prior submission. You had mentioned that some of the templates have been updated. Do we need to go out and get the new templates and upload everything under a new template, or is our information that's out there, even though it wasn't put out on Find Verify, in a proper format?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like everything is processed fine except for the issue of the discounted rates. I don't think it would be necessary for you to utilize those new templates just yet.
Okay, so basically we'll just wait to hear from you then.
Yeah, and actually, just to let you know, this discounted rate is an issue with other issues have brought up, and I actually want to take a closer look at this myself, so you will definitely be in touch with us. I mean, we will be in touch with you.
That sounds better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Brian Powell with the HCSC. Please proceed.
Hi, and that's Dorian. But our question, and I guess it was great that we followed the gentleman from Tennessee, is essentially the same question about how do we handle discounted rates, because the question was, could we use more than one rate template? Because I think, as he explained, some of our rates are based on single and family coverage, while others are based on adult-child coverage, depending on how it's put together.
So, what issue were you?
We are Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I spoke to someone else in your organization about this as well. Yes, we're going to look into that.
And so I assume that you guys will be creating some kind of list of folks to contact or organizations to contact, and we'll be on that list.
Yeah, you're already on that list.
All right.
Yeah, and bear in mind that, and try to speak advisedly, for November, we are not going to be implementing new templates, okay? Moving forward after November, we are looking into the issue of how we might be able to provide templates that reflect different rate structures with better accuracy. For November, though, we're essentially working with the templates that have been provided. And so if there's an issue of can we separate, you know, and deal with different templates for different plans, that's one issue. But in terms of for November, we're not going to actually have updated templates that would provide a different rating structure for people to use.
All right. And I had two quick other questions. Around the CFO or CEO attestation, how often do we have to redo that attestation? We were able to submit all four states and get our attestation completed, and we're being shown on the eHealth site. But how often will we have to have that attestation updated, essentially?
Again, I'm going to ask, you know, we will be providing additional guidance. We don't have the answer on that for today's call.
All right. And then the last question is, we went out on Friday and we kind of looked at some of the information that was out there. And I just had a question from a technology side. What's the lowest version of IE Explorer that you guys are supporting on that eHealth site? And the reason why I ask is because we had gotten feedback from some people within our organization who had gone out to the site and were only able to pull up when they clicked on the button for plan detail, it only pulled up like the name of the plan, the link that would take you directly to one of our external sites. There was a phone number, and that was it. Normally, all of the other information would be under that, probably for the next page or two. But in some cases, that information didn't show for the example that was closest to me was in the state of Illinois.
Right, and actually making us aware of issues like that is terrific, and I'm actually going to ask if you could send them an email because we're trying to pull them in. I will let you know the site does use AJAX, and therefore, you know, it's the particular handling of Java in different browsers can affect the display. We do have a set of standards here at HHS that we try to apply consistently for the display of information. We are getting a trickle of concerns with various browsers not displaying the information completely. Additionally, it could be that your browser settings are also having an effect. So, for example, I use IE6. I can get it, but, you know, I've got one particular configuration of settings on my browser that other people may not have.
I guess that was the most concerning part, is that it seemed to be our specific information. So I could go to one of our competitors and click on their plan detail button, and we get everything that I expected because I personally am using Mozilla. So everything that I was able to see, they would be able to see it through IE6 through our competitors' information. But for some reason, our information wasn't viewable in some cases when they clicked on plan detail.
Yeah, send us in those comments. They are something that we're taking seriously, and we've got a technical team here at HHS working on those. You know, unfortunately, given the exigencies of how all this works, some people can actually get displayed a little bit better than others. Fortunately, you know, it's sort of randomized in a sense, if you will, but we definitely want to get those issues addressed. And the best way for us to be able to do that is to know that there is a problem. So, yes, please, as you encounter those problems, let us know.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Cindy Forrest with SummerCare. Please proceed.
Yes, I have a question. Our rates and plans were not approved in time for the initial upload, and they have since been approved. And I'm wondering, is eHealth going to pass that information on, or?
If you are an issuer that had approved the transfer back in August, there will be a second opportunity for those issuers that did not get live to complete the transfer. I don't have the report in front of me, but I do not believe that you are one of the issuers that approved it.
And how would we have been asked to approve that? Someone would have been contacted?
I can share you with the communication, what was communicated and when, offline. Why don't you send an email into the CMP help desk and ask them to forward the email to me with your contact information.
Okay, and I'm speaking with?
David Cordero.
David, okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of David Ferrari of Guardian Life. Please proceed.
Hi, I wanted to follow up on an earlier question regarding the enrollment for the December
refresh. Am I to assume that that also includes the 1% enrollment test for the December refresh should be as of June 30th?
Sorry, the 1% rule application would be based on the reference quarter. So yes, if you're providing us the information for the December refresh, that June 30th would be the date to utilize.
Okay, thank you very much.
And it looks like there are no questions in the queue.
I'd like to thank David for taking everybody through this, and I'd like to thank everyone on the line for spending the effort to get your information available to consumers in this way. We really do appreciate it, and we really do view this as a partnership that we're going to have moving forward. I suspect that at least some of you have been seeing a variety of feedback from consumers. I know that people have been going out to the website and contacting a variety of companies using it as a tool. We hope that it will become stronger moving forward, and we're very much confident that it will be. We are planning on beginning to address some of the different difficulties and gaps and improvements and all those things moving forward. For November, we're really focused on getting just clear-cut representation and even-handed representation across those fields. So I really do appreciate everyone's involvement. We will be holding the call tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's our standard call-in line. Please join us. Thank you very much. I appreciate you getting your data into the tool, and we'll talk to you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a wonderful day.